This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are Thursday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. May corn, 513 and a quarter, up 3. July corn, 516 and a half, up 2.5. September corn, 513 and a quarter, up 2.25. May soybeans, 1474 and a quarter, up 23 and a quarter. July soybeans, 1469 and a half, up 23 and a quarter. August soybeans, 1407 and a quarter, up 13 and a half. May wheat, 726 and three quarters, down 3. July wheat, 735 and a quarter, down 2.5. September wheat, 743 and three quarters, down 2.75. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
I'm Bob Brees, and this is Thursday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Thursday afternoon. Soybeans got a boost with better-than-expected exports along with tidal crop supplies. Corn ended on the positive side, while wheat ended up on the negative side with technical trading that got traders on the sidelines before tomorrow's USDA report at 11. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 2 to 3 cents higher at 486 to 511. Soybean bids were 23 cents higher at 1448 to 1473. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady to 3 cents higher at 484 to 510. Soybean bids were 23 to 27 cents higher at 1470 to 1490. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were steady to 3 cents higher at 496 to 527. Soybean bids were 20 to 30 higher at 1458 to 1491. Wheat bids were steady to 3 cents lower at 702 to 735. Now from the Illinois Soybean Processors Cash, soybean bids were 23 to 28 cents higher at 1490 to 1520. Basis was steady to 5 cents higher at 20 to 50 over the July. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 505.70 to 522.70 a ton, and that was $5.80 higher, with the basis unchanged at 25 to 42 over the July. Illinois corn processors cash corn bids were 3 to 5 cents higher at 512 to 529, with the basis unchanged to 2 higher at 5 under to 12 over the July. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids 3 cents higher at 520 to 524, the basis unchanged at 3 to 7 over the July. Soybeans ended 23 cents higher at 1476 to 1481, with the basis unchanged at 6 to 11 over the July. New crop wheat prices were 3 cents lower, 708 to 711, with the basis steady at 24 to 27 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 3 to 5 cents higher, the 541 to 543. These elevators raised their soybean prices 21 to 22 cents, with quotations of $15 to $15.01. Soft wheat closed 4 to 25 cents higher at 750 to 761, and Milo ended the day 3 to 7 higher at 534 to 542. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery. In the northern and western part of the state, corn was 471 to 487, and soybeans 1179 to 1204. In the central part of the state, corn ranged from 472 to 492, and soybeans 1190 to 1207. Now in southern Illinois, corn was 480 to 496, and soybeans 1184 to 1214. Soft wheat ranged from $7 to $7.29. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Thursday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. June live cattle, 137.92, up 35 cents. August live cattle, 137.60, up 20 cents. October live cattle, 142.25, up 20 cents. May feeder cattle, 183.50, up 47 cents. August feeder cattle, 190.27, down 40 cents. September feeder cattle, 190.65, down 55 cents. May lean hogs, 114.90, down 32 cents. June lean hogs, 120.15, down $1.02. July lean hogs, 123.42, up 40 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday the 8th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Illinois direct sow report, slaughter sows were trading steady to a dollar lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 75 to 84, 4 to 5 weights 82 to 89, 5 to 6 weights 86 to 91, and 600 pounds and up were 90 to 92. On the Illinois direct hog trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $73 to $80. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 11,864 head, and now the report from Rio's Livestock Auction, held Wednesday, May the 7th, they had receipts of 261 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 150 to 156.50, select and choice 140 to 147, choice slaughter Holstein steers 131 to 135, and select Holstein steers 122 to 125. Choice slaughter heifers 144 to 155.50, and premium cows were bringing 134, breakers were 98 to 104.50, boners were 98 to 105, and leans were 80 to 89. Slaughter bulls were under 1,500 pounds were 110 to 111, and 1,500 pounds and up 113 to 117, with some high dressing at 121. Now on to the Greenville Livestock Auction. They had some feeder cattle, beginning with the steers, medium and large ones, 4 weights 230 to 234, 5 weights 207 to 213, 6 weights were 195 to 210. Feeder steers, medium and large twos, 4 weights were 140 to 155. Excuse me, these are Holsteins. 4 weights were 140 to 155. 5 weights, 147 to 152.50. 6 weights, 134 to 139. Feeder heifers, 4 weights, 206 to 220. And 5 weights, 188 to 200. Feeder bulls, medium and large ones, 5 weights, 190 to 206, and 6 weights, 181 to 185. Now in the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 147 to 150, and on a dress basis, 230 to 238. Heifers on a live basis, no reportable trade, but on a dress basis they were 237. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 336 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass is 112.08, and that was 11 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were $225.65, that was $1.50 lower, and select carcasses were $212.51, that was 75 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 119,000, which compared to 119,000 last week and 119,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 396,000. That compared to 415,000 last week and 410,000 a year ago. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. May corn delivered to Greenfield, $5.18. June corn delivered to Greenfield, $5.21. May corn delivered to Scottville, $5.09. June corn delivered to Scottville, $5.12. May and June beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.69. May and June beans delivered to Scottville, $14.58. May wheat delivered to Scottville, $7.25. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield is $5.18, corn at Scottville is $5.09, beans at Greenfield are $14.69, beans at Scottville are $14.58, and wheat at Scottville is $7.25. While hogs and cattle are struggling with low numbers, demand for bison meat seems to be rising. As consumer demand grows, so does the business for bison producers. The growth is due to more retail outlets, such as Costco, carrying bison products, along with more bison found in restaurants and in farmers markets, according to the National Bison Association Executive Director, Dave Carter.
From about 2004, when the USDA first started tracking the wholesale bison prices, our story for years was that every month or every year, the prices were a little bit higher than the year before. And that was good news because, you know, around 2000, our industry was really in trouble. We'd built up the herds, but we hadn't introduced the product to the consumers. And so from 2004, we watched those prices steadily climb until about 2011. And the price that the producers were receiving for a two-year-old bull when they took it in hit about $3.90 to $4 a pound on the carcass, which meant that the ground bison in the retail stores was about $10 a pound. And that's really when we started to see a little bit of consumer pushback. But boy, they sure didn't push back too hard, because the retail price of ground bison is still right around $9.50.
Carter adds that demand has continued to increase in the last 3 years, and so have the prices received by producers, as they're getting $3.85 to $3.90 per pound right now for almost the same two-year-olds. Bison growers in Illinois have certainly noticed the increased interest in bison, as they recently formed the Illinois-Indiana Bison Growers Association. For more information, you can find them on Facebook by searching Illinois-Indiana Bison Growers Association. On Tuesday, the White House released a climate change report they say shows indisputably the United States is feeling widespread effects of climate change, and the Obama administration's environmental policies could help. Tony St. James reports.
The administrator of EPA, Gina McCarthy.
I just came from the rollout of the National Climate Assessment. That is a four-year document that a number of federal scientists, including EPA scientists, actually hundreds, put together. It was a four-year study to take a look at the impacts we're seeing from climate.
Some in Congress say there is no reason for U.S. policies to reduce greenhouse gas emissions because the rest of the world doesn't have to follow suit.
One of the reasons why I wanted to raise it is it's a really good document in terms of its focusing on the United States, not on this as a global issue. So it takes a look at what you're seeing for regional impacts of climate. In particular, it looks at the agriculture sector. It talks about the droughts and floods that we're seeing that have created challenges to our farmers and ranchers, and to take a look at what are some of the ways in which the president's climate action plan can work collaboratively with agriculture to try to address those challenges more effectively.
Now, the White House climate change plan calls for reductions in greenhouse gas emissions, resiliency actions to prepare for climate change effects that cannot be avoided, and working toward global cooperation on the goals.
I know from EPA's perspective, water quality is a big issue. If you are seeing more intense storms and it's washing away your soil, you can bet it's creating more challenges from a water quality perspective. And we need to recognize that nobody wants this to happen. It is the world in which we live today. And so as I go out and talk to farmers and ranchers about climate change, we're not debating the climate change. We're talking about what we can do together to recognize the challenges and to provide the farmers the adaptive management techniques that will allow them to be successful. in their farming and ranching, but also allow us to work with them collaboratively to address these challenges.
Speaking of water, Environmental Protection Agency recently published in the Federal Register the Waters of the U.S. proposed rule, which reflects EPA's latest interpretation of the 1972 Clean Water Act. Farm Bureau says, among other things, the rule would expand federal control over land features like ditches and areas of ag land that are wet only during storms. Administrator McCarthy says,
one of the things I've tried to make clear, and that I'm hoping becomes clearer over time, is that this proposed rule does not expand the scope of the waters we've historically protected under the Clean Air Act. It doesn't regulate groundwater. It doesn't regulate tile drainage systems. It won't increase regulation over ditches. All of those things are, I think, and hope are clear as people read this. Now, if you weren't required to have a permit before this rule, you will not be required to have a permit after. This is a rule that tries to make clear, based on science, what waters are important to protect to ensure the integrity of our navigable waters that are so important to our drinking water supplies.
From Washington, D.C., I'm Tony St. James.
Speaking of recent challenges in agriculture, recently the Weed Science Program at the University of Illinois published recommendations for the management of Palmer amaranth in the state. One particular recommendation emphasizes the need for timely application of foliar-applied herbicides. In particular, foliar-applied herbicides must be applied before Palmer amaranth plants are taller than 4 inches. Most weed management practitioners are very familiar with the growth rates of water hemp and many other weed species, but perhaps are less familiar, thinks University of Illinois weed scientist Aaron Hager, with the growth rate of Palmer amaranth. To that end, Cody Evans, a weed science graduate student of the U of I, has done some greenhouse work to compare how quickly the two weeds grow. This was not a replicated experiment, but simply a demonstration of the relative growth rate differences between the two species. Both species emerged on the same day, and the plants were photographed every other day for a month. The photographs illustrated Palmer amaranth plants reach a 4-inch height in less than 10 days after emergence. It grows almost twice as fast as water hemp. The growth rate comparison is illustrated under greenhouse conditions, but experience suggests a similar growth rate of Palmer amaranth should be expected under field conditions. It means timely applications for foliar-applied herbicides will require vigilant scouting throughout a large portion of the growing season if the Palmer amaranth is to be kept from spreading. Residents of 8 central Illinois counties can dispose of unwanted agrochemicals for free this year through the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Agricultural Pesticide Clean Sweep Program. A clean sweep collection has been scheduled in late summer for Tazewell, Mason, Menard, Sangamon, Logan, DeWitt, Macon, and Piatt counties. The collection, which rotates among Illinois counties, is open to farmers, retired farmers, nursery owners, private pesticide applicators, structural pest control applicators, and landowners who inherited unwanted agricultural pesticides with their property. Participants must register the products they plan to dispose of by July 14th. Registration is required to give the waste disposal contractor time to prepare for the different kinds of materials that will need to be handled. Forms can be obtained either by calling the Illinois Department of Agriculture's pesticide hotline at 1-800-641-3934 or by visiting one of the program sponsors, which includes the University of Illinois Extension Office in Decatur, the U of I Extension Office in Pekin, the Extension Office in Springfield, the Mason County Farm Bureau, the Menard County Farm Bureau, and the Sangamon County Farm Bureau. Completed forms should be mailed or faxed to the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Participants then will be sent a reservation card indicating the date, time, and location of their collection. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.